League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Brown Load, everybody. Hi, everyone. So we are online. We are online today because, once again, Hello. Satch is doing his buy five, get one free trip to Dubai this year. So yes, you're on your sixth stamp. You get the sixth stamp this time?
This one went a free one. Trust me, it wasn't. It was actually quite expensive.
You know what? That was very expensive. You could just tell the way he started that. This one was not free.
It was not free by any means. It's because, I'll tell you why, I'm coming back just before a bank holiday weekend. So
yeah, and it's half term.
Well, there you go.
This is it. So May bank holiday. Rob, I was thinking about it. Like, even now, we've booked our holiday for April next year because that's the big holiday, that Easter break. Because otherwise, you want to book somewhere like that now or even October. Bro, can I get this up on chair? I'm not into skiing, right? But I always thought it'd be nice to go skiing at Christmas with the family.
It never is. Who would do that? Why would you do that?
No, because some of these resorts are amazing. You can get all-inclusive Club Med style resorts with the kids, family resorts, all that. Family resort in the Alps in France. Bearing in mind the Alps is not far away. This ain't long haul, right? Just before Christmas, not around December the 10th, which is also seen as early ski season, so there's not much snow. How much is 1 week for four people?
Bare expensive. But skiing is not for up and air, bruv. Skiing is for that level.
No, you can't say that, bro. It's changing. It is for up and air. I think a lot of up and air love skiing.
No.
It's like a newfound thing.
Yeah, it's like when Asians play golf. It's like that.
No, there's a lot of Asians that play golf, bruv. I think that's...
I know a lot of people that play golf. I find them a bit weird.
Now that's what I mean. So it's the next thing now. It's like I went, like we went through the transition of all of a sudden when you start hearing Asians, and it was that sort of young Asian sort of uncle. Yeah, you know, I play golf now. Yes, you know, and there's the Kapoors and all of that, and you're like, shut up, mate. Do you know what I mean? So we've been through that transition phase for a while now, and now I think skiing is the next transition.
I don't know if you're making indirect digs that I'm like that uncle and therefore I've become an uncle or whatever that I'm like.
No, oh, yes. I'm not saying you are.
I want to make it very clear. I don't play golf. I don't ski.
I know. And I know you wouldn't go skiing, but what I'm trying to say, I'm saying for the diaspora, this is basically that the skiing holiday is now, you know, it's the
golfing. Tell me, why do you want to go skiing?
So what I've heard is, firstly, the après ski, it's supposed to be really good fun. Like all the stuff you do in the lodges.
That's what I mean. You're looking at the quality of what there is to do indoors.
You can do that at home. No, not necessarily. I think there is. Okay, so we've done a little bit. We've been to the odd ski lesson. So where it started for me was about 20 years ago. 20 saal pehle, ye kahani shuru hui hai. No, but 20 years ago, when I started on my presenting career, I was doing reviews of ski resorts, as well as many other things, right? Hotels and all that kind of stuff and whatever. And when I came to these ski resorts and I saw these families together, I thought, wow, one day in the future, I'll have a family. And
bruv, once you've had one hot chocolate with your family, then it's done, bruv.
That hot chocolate's 30 quid.
Yeah. Well, that's why you do the all-inclusive. The all-inclusive means you haven't got to worry about any of that. You can, like, you know, it's... Look, I still think I did, but basically I was like, 1 week.
Just go to Butlins in December.
Yeah, I did think that. Or I thought I'd just go to Milton Keynes where the inside snow dome is.
You know, like if you've got that much of an itch to go, you know, just wear that all that garbage for, like, you know, 7 hours, you'll be so sick of it and bored of it. Your feet and everything will be numb. You know, you'll be cold. Your lips will be blue. And
then you'll
be
like, this is brilliant.
It's actually not that cold. When I reviewed these resorts, it's not that cold. It's not freezing like that, believe it or not. It's all right. It's quite pleasant.
I think this is the again, as you said, Kedge, it's for those people that just want to stick something on the gram.
Yeah, it is. It is for the gram. It is like, you know, we're on that next level tier of holiday vibes. You know, like, oh, yes. Maldives, we've been and done there. We like to freeze our butts off now.
But you see, that was it. That was where the desiness came out in me, because I was like, oh, a week in the cold, despite the activities. And look, it'll be a 5-star resort.
Exactly.
We'll have loads of indoor and outdoor pools. And having just done Centre Parks, when we were in the outdoor pool and it's freezing, that's kind of cool. Right? The plunge pools, the cold ice baths. I thought, wicked, that'll be great. But then I was like, you know, you can go to the Rixos in Dubai. You can go, I even knew which I'd, or the Rixos in Abu Dhabi. For $4,500
it, yeah. It's like we live in England. You're paying money to go to a colder place than England.
They've got a ski slope in Dubai as well, if you want.
There you go.
Indoors. Both. Indoors. And you come out of it whenever you want.
So is it full of brown people there? not Arab brown people. Is it full of UK expat?
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are.
When I went in there, it was just, this is like, there was a lot of people just from India who had obviously not seen snow. So they were quite, you know, sort of amazed by it. And then you just get a lot of Arabs skiing as well.
No, I mean, is Dubai right now just rammed with British holidaymakers?
No, there's not. There is a lot of people here, but not as many as they would be, because I'm telling you, the weather is getting really hot now.
Hot.
Satch, you've got so much pain and dukh on your face as you're speaking.
Yeah,
now.
Because I'm telling you,
the heat is getting to you.
It's not even the heat, it's the flipping air conditioning. It's killed me. I'm so bunged up and congealed. I've been here 2 days and it's just like, do you know that the heat outside, I am ill. The heat outside is just like on another scale. And then you walk into like, I don't know, a house or a shopping center or whatever, and it's the other end of the spectrum. Freezing.
Are you taking your nose tampons with you?
I have, yeah. I've got it with me.
There
you go.
Look.
That's it. Shove it
up
your nose.
Honestly,
it's caught me so badly this time, and I'm just like, well, I'm still here for another week. Obviously, you're going to listen to this on Thursday, but I've been here since Saturday. So, you know, I've been feeling under it since I've been here.
The bro is struggling.
I must have said this before about the heat in Dubai, because if anyone has never experienced it, it's not like, whoo, really hot, man. It's different. It's like,
you're in an oven.
Your body's
sort of in an oven.
It's an all-round heat that's kind of coming at you at all angles. I can only describe it is panic mode. You kind of go, like, you know, you ever been in that situation where you sort of feel like, oh, I might drown, like, because the water's caught you or you're stuck somewhere or someone's holding you under the water, one of your cousins, something like that, and you go, you have that little panic mode. Same thing. I think that Dubai heat, it's not pleasant.
Yeah. I went to the gym today. It's literally a 3-minute walk from where I am in the villa.
Yeah.
And it's like, literally, it's just, I get to the gym and then you have like a bit of time to warm up before you do your actual exercise. I didn't need to. I was fully warm in 2 minutes, just walking to the gym. Like I was sweating.
That's a good time.
You know, like I was just like, wow, I'm ready to go. Lift weights now. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a good way of detoxing. It's a good way of cleaning up. Not that you need to detox.
But honestly, it's ridiculous, and it's definitely caught me. But you know, as always on my travels, there's always loads of observations and things I see. And you know what? This time it actually kicked off in Gatwick Airport, lads. And honestly, I thought, do you know what? This is actually something we can speak about on the brown load, and I don't think we'd kind of get into trouble for it because obviously we're three brown guys. I went to Gatwick, get a cup of tea at Gatwick. Starbucks is the first one I came across. I thought, all right, cool, go Starbucks.
Upstairs,
yeah, and you walk left and it's just there on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Went to Starbucks, ordered a cup of tea, gave them my name, Satch. All good, got my name right, perfect. I was like, okay, wicked. And then you got to the area where you go and collect your drink, obviously. So you order at the tills and you walk down the other end and then they're calling out names. So now the lady that was calling out the names, guys, was Indian. And
they're all Indian there.
No, but like the guy serving me wasn't. There was a couple of other Indians.
On my shift, there were three women.
Okay, fine. So anyway, the lady calling out the names, she had a shocker, mate, honestly. Because it was just... No, my name was cool, but I was kind of waiting there for my drink because there's quite a few people in front of me. So the first one, she goes, how would you say John in like an Indian accent, Kedge?
John.
No, it was more John. It was like more John. Yeah, and so she was saying that and there was a John and a Joanne at the same, like, waiting for a drink. So she got that completely wrong. Joanne got John's drink and John got Joanne's drink.
Yeah. Joanna,
So that was a bit. And then they had to make the drinks again because they realised, we've given them the wrong people. And then a lady's name was Simone. How would you say Simone?
Simone.
She called her Seaman.
Oh god.
And she was shouting it out in the thing. Seaman.
Yeah. Maybe she thought it was David.
I need Seaman. Is there any Seaman in the building?
Honestly. Yeah. And I was just sat there with my hand on my head and I was just like, this is too early in the morning.
I've got a cup for Seaman. I've got a cup for Seaman everywhere. I've got a big cup for Seaman.
And then poor Simone came over and was like, it's Simone. And I was just like, we should not be putting a desi.
She corrected her, though.
Yeah, because it's like, it's Simone. It's not Seaman, is it?
Yeah. Okay, if your name was Mitum, like as in Chakrabarti, and they went, Mitoon, is there a Mitoon?
My turn.
I know, but look, I'm sorry, but you should. My turn. Yeah, no, okay, but maybe that could be the case if you're in it's just you shouldn't be doing this at the airport.
What was I say? Would you correct them? I wouldn't correct them. If they went Donny, I'd go, yeah. Double espresso for Donny.
I only go with the first initial anyway, it's just K. I mean, if they can't say that, then they're just what hope have I got? But to be fair, it was quite nice because those Gujarati ladies, you know, they knew exactly. I bonded with them because basically, you know, I just wanted to explain to them and then they understood it and then they were like talking to Gujarati because they basically gave the message to the woman who was making it saying, "Hi, normal dude, ne almond dude." I was like, oh, yeah. See, they get it.
Gatwick's Gujarati
ladies running Starbucks. Go and visit them. I think they're going to become like celeb status.
Nice. And but look, the main thing is, Satch, I think you ain't going to complain about it. They got your name right. You're all good.
Yeah, they did. But it was just, do you know what? I felt bad for people like Simone and John and Joan and everyone else because it was just. They were just cocking their names up, and I thought, do you know what? They're going to be pissed at this for sure.
What's your preferred coffee shop brand? What do you? Because I wouldn't go Starbucks. Starbucks.
Oh, I'm only Starbucks. I'm only Starbucks.
Really? It doesn't do anything.
Do you know what? I don't tell you what. With Pret, the queue at Pret in Gatwick is just too long, and I prefer their if I go Starbucks, I get a chai tea latte because that's the closest thing that tastes to like a flipping Indian tea. And the one I need tea in the morning.
Is it because of the digestion? Because it triggers? Does it trigger?
No, it's not that. It's just I don't wake up if I don't have tea.
Like, it does taste. It is the closest you're going to get to this.
It's not quite masala, there, but it's stuff. Just it will do the job, right, Kedge?
Yeah,
funny you said that. Because I'm going to whisper this because just recently she's changed and my missus has started making me a coffee and bringing it in bed. And I'm whispering it because I don't know what's triggered. She's only been doing it for the last, say, month. Not every day, but four times a week every day. So, you know, like
That's a good return. Yeah.
So what she trains in the morning. She trains at 6 a.m. and she's back at 7 a.m., which is when I'm waking up. So I get up at 7, then I get the boys up because she does their head in. Because she's awake from the gym. She goes in, you know, everybody get up. And I'm like, nobody likes that. They like to, my boys are like me. They like to have their back rubbed, been told that they're loved, told to get ready for the day. So she comes out. But that little coffee, having that ready, I smell it and when I'm half asleep because she puts it on the table next to me. And then that is... You're right. Having that hot drink. And sometimes I feel like, oh, should I not brush my teeth? Then have coffee? Like putting coffee straight on?
What?
Like, which way round would I do it?
You're having coffee without brushing your teeth?
Yeah, because I'm in bed. I've just woke up.
That is a whole new Western saga that I do not get involved in.
Let's not even get into that.
If I brush my teeth.
I can't even drink water without brushing my teeth.
Yeah, I'm with you. It tastes weird because I feel like I've got that gammy morning mouth, right?
And that's all gone in you.
Yeah, but don't forget, I'm going to drink coffee. So firstly, what I do, by the way, before I touch the coffee, is I neck loads of water. I've always got a bottle of water by my bed, right? So neck water. So I think I've seen so many like Bollywood actresses, mainly female ones, saying that. Going, sweaty, bunny the glass, full guard. You've got to down it.
I do that after I brush my teeth, Tommy.
What, right. You want to be a Bollywood actress?
But then I said, not wannabe, bruv. I already am. Okay.
Yeah. He's in the play.
I was in Mr. Bhatti on Shutti with Anupam Kher. So I'll take that one, right? So
Mr. What?
Yeah, exactly. No one heard of it, bruv. No one heard of it. Don't worry. Move on. Yeah. But my point is that's my kind of part of my early routine. No. Okay. Let me just clarify this, because I thought if I brush my teeth and have the coffee, then I'm putting coffee all over my teeth. If I have the coffee, then I feel like I'm having the coffee in like nasty breath. Not that my breath is that nasty, but you know, like nasty-ish breath, morning breath, coffee. Like I'm drinking all that morning breath down, and I don't know if that's cool either. So you do it the other way around. You brush your teeth and then you put coffee stains all over it.
No, you have to brush before anything goes. Like, if I'm drinking anything, you have to brush your teeth first.
Yeah, I think I'm with Sat on that. I think that's really? a straight up desi flex. So
if you had breakfast in bed, if someone brought you a coffee,
I wouldn't do breakfast in bed. No. If someone brought me breakfast in bed, I'd be like, take that downstairs where it belongs on the flipping dining table.
Yeah, there ain't no breakfast in bed.
Are you dumb?
No, exactly.
See, that's interesting. No. I just think as we get older, you're becoming uncles. And talking of uncles, this weekend, I was supporting Sukorjula on her tour. She's got Sukorjula, stand-up comedian. She's got her tour out, a new tour, which is called The Auntie Years. And effectively, it's all about how she's turned into an auntie and she doesn't really know how. You know, she's single. You know, a little while ago, she was in her kind of late 20s and early 30s. And then, boom, she's going to be 40. How did this happen? She's finding herself doing certain auntie things. And I'm like, yeah. Wake up, I like my coffee. I need my coffee before I go anywhere. You know, like I like to have the news on. I don't want to have conversation. So I'm becoming my dad. Definitely becoming my dad. My dad always had the news on. And I remember when I was young, I'd go, why? Why would you want
to I love the news in the news morning. On? I love the you news
do.
In the morning.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh.
You don't
care. I don't watch news. I've had it on since when I was at school. I loved it since then.
Oh, see,
so for Prime Minister.
I didn't at school, but all of a sudden now it's like I want to know, and it's like I'm everything's kind of relevant as you get older because you become more.
Do you know what? I can't figure out when people say to me, "I don't know what's happening in the world because I've not seen the news." I can't get that through my head. Honestly, no, I'm just
what's happening in the world, but I don't watch.
Yeah,
the
news. I get that, Ked. I know you get your news from other avenues, which is fine. Yes. But I know people that. Don't have no recollection of the news, full stop. And yeah. I think that's
I have a friend like that.
I'm back. How do you not know what's happening? Like, I don't know, for example, in the Middle East or something, or whatever in the world where there's been some massive issue or so. How do you not know that? It's all over the news.
Well, I will say, though, when you watch it too much, though, it does do you nutting. It does.
I think, Tommy, you've got to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt as well. Like, you've just got to know what's happening and just kind of... You don't live in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just got to kind of take the headlines.
But it's
funny because you said that you're turning into your, like, because obviously we were talking about last week about how you said that you're turning into your dad, and then, you know, like how you're rocking those slippers, the flip flops, which obviously I posted in our new WhatsApp group as well. I've got to mention that.
Yes, we have a WhatsApp group. Tell people how they can be a part and they can follow us. For extra stuff that goes on in the week that we just
breaking stick up on the news, WhatsApp group. The Brownlow have a WhatsApp group and everyone can be a part of it.
Yeah, and hopefully you won't get sacked as a result of it. If that, you know, because we don't want you to join our WhatsApp group, which let's face it, we haven't got the best track record. But we promise you, it's all very wholesome and lovely there, and it always was, and it always will be, and it's a fun little place. So just slightly misunderstood.
Yeah, it's like more like exclusive behind the scenes kind of content that we would send to each other. And
BDS.
That's where
BDS.
Yeah,
BDS.
BDS. And I obviously was on the train that morning and there was literally a kaka with the same slippers as you. That photo is in the group to which a lot of people replied with the vomiting emoji. I don't know why, Tommy, but there was not one emoji of like on that photo. No,
but didn't he have... Hadn't he kicked one shoe off? He had trainers on.
Yeah, he kicked one off when he was resting. No, he didn't have trainers on. He just took his foot out of one of the
one of the triples.
Yeah. He rested
So yeah. One got full ventilation and the other one was getting like a little bit of just regular sandal ventilation.
He put one crusty foot on the other crusty foot and rested it.
First thing in the morning.
Hedge being the guy that he is, took a photo for his bank.
Yeah. I took a photo for the brand, because that's what we would do. I would have taken the photo and sent it to you too.
I know it's not for the voice that group, man.
You'd have it all on your wall at home, like baby reindeer. You'd be like baby bear, baby jute. And you're just storing all these pictures, obsessed with people's toes.
If you want to get onto it, by the way, if you want to join the group, all you got to do is head to our Instagram profile and you'll see the link. No. You can just click on that link.
Kedge, you've just put everyone off it because you said there's a person's foot, picture of someone's feet in the group.
There's some other good content as well. That, you know, Tommy's posted a couple of good videos.
Tommy's posted
a couple of good videos when he's been out and about and what he's been doing. There was a dilemma, what to do with his rubbish. I thought, you know, you also are going to get exclusive preview to a bit of the Brownload content that maybe Instagram gets a day later. So, you know, you would see it first. The thing is, the bit of feedback we've got, we've had quite a few sort of feedback on the WhatsApp group, is that why can't we type a message?
What can they type? People, we've been able to see their messages, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the whole point of it. This is just so we can post content and you guys can react. I mean, can you imagine if it was a free-for-all Royal Rumble WhatsApp with all of the people listening to the podcast?
We don't want that.
That'd be absolute disaster. We would be getting battered.
No, not only that. And before you know it, you'd be in full gunned mode like that. Yeah. It'd be... Because I know... Look, I see it in the comedy clubs, right? It's the only groups of guys that come to the comedy night are ones that listen to the Brownload. Other than that, it's couples and it's mainly women that come to my comedy nights that I'm doing, my own personal one. So when I see those groups of guys, they're like, oh, we love the Brownload. And I'm thinking about those guys right now and I'm thinking about them being in our WhatsApp group and I'm thinking about the kind of things that they would send, bruv. I mean, it's different now. We work for ourselves, but we would end up getting sacked. I'd have to sack myself. I'd have to go, look, I've been sent something. It's so disgusting. I'm sacking
myself. You'd have to flag it to HR. You know what?
Thinking about it, it kind of reminded me about, obviously last week we were talking about that portal thing, you know, the Dublin New York.
Oh, Dublin, New York. And we
know that it's been shut down now because of the lady with, you know, what she did. She flashed everyone.
From OnlyFans.
Our WhatsApp group would be that, basically.
What, Tommy sending topless photos?
No, I don't know, but just someone doing something random and the rules. You should be doing.
Fair enough.
In terms of a free-for-all. But do you know what? Speaking of inappropriate, and I wanted to kind of take a photo, but I couldn't, and it was something on the plane. I couldn't have. I'll tell you why I couldn't. It was Tommy. It was more toes. And do you know what? So I was sat in the aisle, standard seat. I always sit in the aisle like it. So to the right of me, there was a row of four. There's a person next to me, an aisle, then the person next to me. Next to them, there was a kid.
Yeah.
Kid had his shoes off. And, bruv, this disgusted me. His mum was next to him. He opened the tray table and he just had his feet on all over the tray table. Like, just... And I was just like, this is...
How old? A baby? Like, how old?
Five, six. I'm sorry. No, Kedge, that is disgusting. What if you're sat in that seat on the next flight and...
No, they wouldn't have.
I know that all flights said that they don't wipe it.
They don't wipe. Let's be honest.
They don't wipe. They're not going to open the tray. They're not.
I have to believe they rip out all the insides of the plane and they put in all brand new insides of the plane. Not at all.
And literally, his feet were on the table, and then the lady just came and put the food on it, and I was just like, "That is just disgusting."
I think under five year olds, children, it's not as bad.
That's not bloody acceptable, though, is it?
The behavior, mate. But you know, 5 year old, it's a long flight. That's a difficult one to tame.
If that was next to you then, and the kid had his foot on the table and you were eating the dinner next to him, how would you feel?
I'll be honest, it doesn't really bother me that much because it's a kid.
Bro, I'd poke you with a fork. Put your foot off.
What? It depends on the kid, though, because I'll be honest, like, even Logan, who's only seven, I swear the other day we were in a car and he had his foot up with the trainer on, like in the back. I didn't realize. So I'm driving and he's put his foot on that little box that you have in between you and the passenger. You know, that little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Between the armrest.
Storage thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suddenly got a whiff of feet. I'm going, what is
that? Oh,
yeah. See what I mean?
It's in my blind spot. It's in my blind spot over my left. But it's that distinct. And I looked, I went, Lowe's. I said, is that your foot? I said, and he's like, what? Oblivious to it, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I mean, it is. I went, oh my God, I can smell it through the shoe. Like, what is going on in there? You know, and that's my own child. And I'll be honest, I wipe his chitter. I used to wipe his chitter and Logan's, Milo's as well. And that never put me off. The smell of this foot was right.
Yeah.
I think a foot smell sometimes is worse than a dirty smell because you'd be like, it's just that it's foot. I'll tell you what, I whiffed the other day. I was in the gym. I had a wicked gym session yesterday. I went to the David Lloyd in Birmingham and because I was up there for the show.
Fancy.
Got a little cheeky free pass, right? Enjoyed it. But these guys were on a tour, and like a tour of the gym. And I said, because you know, there's someone walking them around.
Induction day.
And
Induction day.
Or even like a sales day. Something like, sales day. So they were dressed in clothes, but they walked past me and
they were dressed in clothes.
Which you, no, you know what I mean? Swinging around. That's how I roll. And they smell of what I can only describe as, do you know that smell of old water when like towels have been left damp? My housemates had towels like that, like
damp
university.
Smell.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just horrible. Old water. It's just been horrible. Sitting. The word, I think I said this on the podcast before, I know in Punjabi is behi. Behi ji smell on the behi.
Fikku is the Gujarati word.
What is it?
Fikku.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. Yeah, right. So and as they went past, I got the waft of that. And I'm like, that's what they smell like in normal clothes, not in gym gear, not having had a workout. Oh. It's just the rankness.
So, but you know, can we just talk about that smell? Sorry. That smell, right? Which is basically because you haven't dried your clothes properly and they've been damp.
Yeah.
Or you've left it in your washing machine for a long time and then they've got that smell, but then you still put it out to dry. Like, that smell is so pungent. It literally, I can feel it going up my nostrils. Yeah. Now, what is the procedure that from drying that and you not smelling it to then putting it on the next day and still not smelling it as it surrounds your neck and it's the constant waft going up your nose? How does that work?
I'll tell you why. It's because they don't clean and clean themselves and they stink of that as well. So it's like, do you know, if you're going to put something smelly on something smelly, it don't make a difference.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
It's like the air conditioning, right? So Satch isn't well out in Dubai because he's not accustomed to it. The others have got accustomed to it, right? So they're like, yep, this is what goes on. These things are on our body and our body just does adjust. This one did. That smelliness is my first observation. Actually, I got two other observations from the gym yesterday because when you're in a different gym, you're looking around a lot, right? This was the David Lloyd. I think it was sort of somewhere near, I want to say Dudley, but I might be wrong. Might be Great Bar. If anyone knows that one, I think it's around that way. Anyway, the other observation was I was in the changing room. There's a guy there. And as always the way, when you ever see dads with their kids, then you suddenly start missing your own kids and you're like, oh man, I should spend more time with them. Like, look at that. His dad's brought his kid to the gym. They're going to have a little splash around the pool together. They have the little, you know, little kind of quality dad and son time. And there was an outdoor pool as well. I was in that. Lovely. Sun shining.
Lovely.
Beautiful. Did a few lengths there. And there's all loads of kids out and about and people, families and stuff. I was like, oh, this is nice. But I just enjoyed it to myself, right? My point is, in the changing room, this dad did something that I don't think my dad would have ever done. Like, it just wouldn't even be on his radar. You know, this level of kind of care and thoughtfulness. You know, my dad was busy. We're working. Yeah, me and my dad went to the park together. We played sport together. He told me how to ride a bike. He did all the dad things. But I saw this dad yesterday, 2 days ago, in the gym, in the changing rooms, with a hairdryer, holding his son's Crocs, drying the Crocs from the inside.
Oh,
so they're nice and warm. That is nice. But I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's nice. And I thought, yeah, I do that. I like when I iron the kids' shirts, I put it on I iron the back bit last so that when they put the shirt on, that heat goes on their back and they like that. They're like, ooh, it's warm. Or you put their pajamas on the radiator, but when they come out the shower, they're like, ooh, that's nice. Those are the little treats, the little touches. But no way would my dad have done that. 1,000%. No way would my dad's dad have done that. My dad, hope my dad doesn't mind me sharing this little bit of detail. My dad said he remembers the boat trip over to the UK, right?
Oh,
he was about, he's about six, I think he was about the time, right? And he says, Tommy, he goes, I was on that boat for 2 weeks. He goes, my dad never really spoke to me once. He'd go, right, you eating? He'd be like, checking him out. You eating? Yeah, cool. All right, cool. You can go play. Go do your thing. He goes, I was left to it. It was a different style of parenting, wasn't it? Now we're all around the kids all the time and all that. So it was, that was my second observation. So I thought, would anyone's dad do that? Kind of be dry and corrupt?
My dad did.
But the other thing was, your dad did?
My dad did.
See, you know what? As I said it, both of you, can I be honest? You both got sweet dads. And I know you have. I know both
my
your
dad,
dads.
My dad would do something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
He would.
I remember this very well. When we'd come out of the shower in the morning, and I'm talking about when we were like six, seven, he would.
You and your brother.
He would have like a little fan heater on in the bedroom so that we could stand in front of it and get changed, because so you wouldn't get cold. I mean, it's next. And like you, you know, the shirt would be on the radiator. But my dad was a bit extra like that. Very extra.
No, that's nice, though. Even like I said about earlier on, I wake up my kids. Like, I wake them up. I like sort of mollycoddling that. I don't know what it is. It's just, I just feel like it wasn't like that. I used to hate it with my sister, Pam.
Tommy, that's a good thing.
Pam used to come into the room and pull the duvet off and go, Mum said, get up, and walks out. I'm like, that's so cold. I hate that. When someone pulls the duvet off me, literally, I can't think of a worse way to wake me up. If you did that, literally, we're getting to hate territory. But the final observation was this. Right, I'm in the changing rooms, and I went, which way is it to the outdoor pool? Because I knew there was. I saw it. Like, there must be a way from the changing room. They go, you got to go through the gym, through the canteen, like food cafe area, and that's the only way. That is a good 100-meter walk. And I went to the guy in the changing room. I went, what? Like, just like this in my trunks with my towel, like. Even though I'm going to be in the pool with my trunks and my towel, walking through a building, you got to be pretty brave. Do you know what I mean? You got to be like I'm going to walk.
That's a bit strange.
I'm just walking in my shorts. Yeah. So then I was like, I'm reluctant. I was like, are you sure? He goes, yeah. And while I was training, I did see people walking past in their trunks. I thought that was a bit weird, but now I realize why. So then I do the walk of shame and I leg it across all the weights area. Then I go into the blooming cafeteria area. Bear in mind, I'm there as a guest pass. I don't know anyone. There are a few Asians around, and I always get that little half look from Asians where they're looking at me like, where do we know him from, sort of. And bloody woman done my bestie, man. I stepped in. She, woman behind the till, she went, no, 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 no. And I'm like, everyone looks around. I'm there, obviously, with my bloody man boobs and my bloody dad bod, right? So you're a bit conscious.
You could have
had
a t-shirt on,
right?
Tommy. You could have put a t-shirt on, yeah.
That's what she said. She goes, you got to wear a t-shirt in here. But I'm like, well, the kutta in the bloody change room didn't say that. He said, just go. I said, look, I'm only got my advice.
Well, Lulu would then proceed without a top through a cafeteria.
No, he's a member there. He's a member there. He goes, no, it's fine. This is what we all do.
He had you on, mate.
You're going to go through that area where you need a t-shirt.
He's done you, mate.
I just thought, I don't want to take too many things to the side of the pool. You don't know what you're going to leave by the side of the pool, all that. So, yeah. But it was just basically, everyone looks around. And then I turned into a little pussy. I'm like, oh, shall I go? Shall I go and get a t-shirt? She goes, no, you're here now. Just know for next time. And then as I was walking past, she goes, and please don't drip on the floor on the way back. I'm like, what the... You're making out like I'm not, sorry, excuse my language, but I was really hurt because I'm like, excuse me, right? You're doing my best in front of everyone. You're making out like I've got a track record of dripping on the floor, right? I'm like, no, I've never been there before.
Can we just talk about the design of this David Lloyd, which is supposed to be super elite gym?
Oh, you have to I'll tell you this now.
A whole market to get to the swimming pool.
People will vouch for this, and this is to prove that I was at. This is a genuine story. She even said, she goes, and in between cussing me out and besting me in front of everyone, she went, normally there's a changing room right there, and she pointed to the back of the room. Like, so there's either another changing room, or that changing room connects to my changing room. But basically, she implied you would only have to go from there normally, but they're being refurbished. So that's why you got to do the big walk of shame. But I'm just saying, it was a walk of shame meets the fact that I was new, meets the fact that she called me out in front of everyone. It's just
hilarious.
It's just bitch. I don't mind the attention, but not that attention. Yeah, I don't want that.
Tommy, but that was a bit. That was. Do you know what? This reminds me of you and your that party you went to with your socks off. You come on. At one point, you should just be like, I'm going to put my t-shirt on and I'm going to go out. And then when I get to the pool, I can take my t-shirt off and just put it on at the side of the bench or something like that.
I'll be honest.
Why did that slip your mind?
I didn't even think of that. It didn't go into.
I mean,
I've never been in a situation where I get to a pool via, 300 people. I never had that situation. Go straight to the pool.
Well, anyway, you didn't want the attention, but you know me, I do love the attention, and I have done something. I don't really, but a little bit. I have done something which I think you guys will be proud of this week. And I thought I won't tell you in the group or anything like that, but I'll share it with you because I wanted to just sort of share it with you guys in person. And that was that I applied for a new job.
Hey, right. Well done. What part of you like it where you are at that place?
Yeah, no, of course I would. But if I get this job, I would have to leave my current job. I might have to leave this country as well because it's abroad.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
Immigration? No.
You border patrol?
I would put it this way. I would never be questioned as much if I got this job going through borders because it would involve...
Kitch, hang on a minute. I'm going to stop you there. There's no way out of the three of us, you'd be the last person to leave the UK.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you don't know what this job is yet. So,
flight attendant.
No. I'm talking like you. It's got to think of it. It's got to. It has to be a job that's going to make me want to leave this current job and the country. I probably would have to give up my commitment to the brown load.
Okay.
Oh wow.
That's probably a good. That's probably
take
a good
job.
Thing.
Take the job. it sounds like a good job. Sounds promising.
Closing date for this job application is 6 p.m. on the 27th of May, India Standard Time.
Oh.
Okay, it's 1 week or so to go from now.
But do you want to guess now? I gave you a bit of a clue there.
Well, it's a job in India where there's 1.5 billion people. So I reckon you could probably have a few jobs. Does it involve traveling
around
India or are you just
a world
around
world,
India
world
or
traveler.
Just going to India?
World traveler.
Okay. So don't tell me there's like a chutney taster that goes around the world making sure there's a consistency
it's
in
better.
A product.
It's better than the chutney taster. Like I would become
beer.
I would become if I'm not already your best friend. I will become your best friend. And you'll go, Kedge. You'll be on the phone and going, Kedge, sort me out. Satch will be. Satch even more so than Tommy, but you both would. But Satch even more so. Sort me out, Kedge. Sort me out.
Go on. I want to know. What is it?
I will read the job application for you. The Board of Control for Cricket in India invites applications for the position of head coach for the senior men's team.
No way. They're advertising like that for a head coach for India.
It's up on Twitter. The selection process will include a thorough review of applications, followed by personal interviews and assessments of shortlisted candidates. The job description for the said position is provided here. This is from the Honorary Secretary Jay Shah at the BCCI. And if you want me to click the link, there's a whole job application form that you have to fill in. It's a 3.5 year contract, starts on July the 1st to 2024, goes to 31st of December, just before my birthday on 2027. It's a full.
Can you give me if now you know that the job that you're going for, give me three of your top bullet points to sell yourself for this job.
Excellent communication skills.
winner, fluent in loads of languages.
nothing communication.
No, because the thing is, it's like the prime minister. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've got to have the delegation skills, isn't it? It's like if you become a prime minister, you don't actually have to do a lot of things. You just got to know how to delegate. Say what's more important. You've got to be able to judge that. I've got to just judge like who's going to be maybe captain. Who's in the running for the captaincy? I'm not deciding the field placement, am I? I've got to sort out a bit of training.
I'd imagine a little bit as head coach.
But it's like, oh, do we want to play Pakistan in July or do we want to play in September? Can we do it at home? Can we do it away? You know, it's that kind of thing. So I did apply, and I've got a screenshot as well of the confirmation that they'd received my application. And it says right. Head code, and I'll put it in the WhatsApp group so everyone can see. I'm just going to put it, see what everyone thinks and how they react to it. But yeah, I've got the confirmation. And it says your response has been recorded. So I've I'll let you guys know how that goes.
But oh, you're in. What do you think they'll go left field? Do you think there's ever a chance they'll go with, actually, we've got something here, someone here. No, they haven't managed a team before, but no. It's almost like that random, what if this was that crazy film plot story, what does it take for Kedge to suddenly, plausibly, end up as head coach? Satch, you're the most cynical one. Make it happen, Satch. How does it happen, Satch?
Mate, that's not happening.
I think he's got
ever.
To come out and say something. No. Like, I'm just saying, let's say he's in the chat, he's in the interview, and all of a sudden his phone goes off and it's Falguni Pathak, and the guy goes, oh, you're a fan of Falguni Pathak, so am I. Like, wow. And then they connect, and then all of a sudden, like, he's in.
I mean, tradition. I know about tradition. I know about the food. You know me, like, you know, breathing techniques, yoga, marathon runner, extreme athlete, incredible eating, you know, and cuisine and knowledge of sports-based energy that is required at that level.
How does this help anything to do with playing cricket?
No, because I'm driving the team forward, isn't it?
But what cricket team have you played for?
I played for the first 11 Merchant Taylor School.
How old were you when you played?
So from the ages of 15 to 18, I was the 12th man for the first 11, but I was captain of the second 11. And then from the ages of 11 to 15, I was in the C team. So there was improvement. It shows improvement.
You're downhill.
I see.
So you're bottom of A's, captain of the B's, top of the C's.
And now
you're one big D.
He's one big D, yeah.
No, but you know what? You guys are laughing at me, guys. But if I get an email right. from the big man.
Kedgel, thanks for coming for the interview. Real blue sky thing in here, Kedge, because we're a blue team here. India, yeah. Blue team.
Blue billion.
Give me your killer idea. Give me the thing that's going to change the way cricket is consumed or seen. Or what do you reckon? What do you know, Kedge? Because, you know, you're from all over the world. You listen to Talk Sport, Kedge. I know you listen to Talk Sport all the time. You're from the Western world. You work for the BBC. Yeah. What's your idea, mate?
I think one of the ways we need to change it is that it needs to become a shorter format of the game. It's got to be more TikTok, less Facebook. That's how we're going to look at it now. So, you know,
Tommy, I'm going to side note here. He's asked to be the job description, head coach of India, not to change cricket in the way he's played. No, but hang on a minute. The job description doesn't tell you what you need to do. Just do the job that we want you to do.
Absolutely. So really what we just established there, right? Kedge is right now. Do you notice he didn't need any warm-up to be indulged in the fantasy of him being head coach? Number one.
Throw a ball at someone.
Let me tell everybody something right now. Kedge is grinning to himself because he knows deep down he's thinking, I could do it, you know. I could if I really wanted to, I could do it. And he believes
it. I could do it.
Yeah, there you go. And that, people, is grammar school education. That's the confidence. That's what we don't have. We second guess ourselves. We doubt ourselves. Kedge's got the Boris Johnson, like, nope, I wasn't there. It wasn't me. Nope. These messages are deleted. Yes, I could run India. Yes. But I tell you what I want to see, which I've heard rumors about. I don't know what on the sorry, quick side note, head coach, sir. Head coach, sir.
Head coach.
Thoda sa idea here. Aap sunenge?
Yes, please, sir. Please tell me.
Me being nervous in case you beat me with a bat. it's like, you know, like the soccer aid or the legends kind of football that we get. Well, why don't they do big exhibition, proper exhibition tournaments where like they're going to pull out, you know, ex-England champions, ex-India champions. I don't know who.
Well, cricket players.
Yeah, you pull out Yuvraj Singh.
That's a
you
great out, idea. I might put that on Tommy.
Again, you've missed the job description. How has this got anything to do with the head coach of the Indian team?
Sorry. Well done. Thank you, sir. That's the point I was going to make. We already gave him a massive job title. Right? We gave him a massive job as head coach, and he turned that massive job title into an even more massive job. Like, I'll change the whole game format. That's not your job.
I'm ready to do whatever you want. I'm ready. Look, at the end of the day, I need to build a team so I can, you know, I'd get Sachin there as the batting coach.
No, I don't want to be in your team because I know nothing about it. They need
you, Sachin Tendulkar, Lalu. What am I going to do with you?
Yeah,
I don't want you.
That's what I mean. What do you want me for? I'll come and play some tunes or something. I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Tommy, I'll get you in as the Indian coach, the head of the comedy circuit. I'll get you as the hype man, maybe to do the not necessarily the speech, but pre-match speech, but I'd get you to do the sort of just easing them in and, you know, just keeping the vibes cool. Satch, I'd get you as the chief DJ selector for all of the IPL games and for the dressing room as well. So, you know, I'd take you guys, I wouldn't forget you guys, you know. Let's all just all pray together that maybe Kedge, you know, gets in the running, at least gets there to the final six.
I'd love for you to be shortlisted. Just honestly, start thinking properly, not in your Kedge nonsense way. Starting probably about some real kind of maverick strategies, doing some stuff that
training
you're really kind
exercises,
of bold.
Yeah.
And you never know. You just...
Thank you, Tommy, for your support. Thank you.
You're in the mix, bro.
People will laugh like Satch, but you know, it's I'm in the mix. If you don't apply, you don't get it.
No, I hope you do get it, Kedge. I hope you get it. But someone who is going to get it, is going to get their moment on the brown load of their moment of their brown load fame.
Oh, yeah.
Is Assad. Assad. As, Assad. Assad.
Assad. Assad. Come on, we're in England, bro.
Assad would be the name. Yeah. Assad is what his mates call him at school. Assad, possible, bruv, possible, possible. Yeah.
Assad boy.
Huh?
Assad boy.
What do you mean?
That's what they probably might have called him at school.
Nah, see, that's so crap, bruv. That's so crap that I'm going to just forget that you said that.
Hang on, Tommy.
That is
a private school joke.
Supposedly.
I'm sorry. If you said that in our NHS school, you'd probably get beaten up.
Yeah. I think
a rubbish joke.
I think private schools are cleverer than that. Actually, when they do jokes, it's quite layered and it's kind of like, oh, we call him this because he walks like that. And you know, it's quite clever. But he just went, a sad boy. He did it. He didn't do a private school joke. He did an Ilford joke, bro. That's kind of my little
My God.
Right. Anyway, Assad, he goes, hi guys, it's Assad here. I bloody love the podcast. Is that how he starts off? He goes, I bloody love the podcast. I've got to say, been listening for around 2 years. It's quite a long email, but listen to how lovely this is, man. I wanted to bring this up because this is, you don't realize this makes our day, right? Makes our day when we read things like this. Been listening for around 2 years now, and I look forward to Thursdays. With my current job, I'm always traveling, so I'm not always able to listen to you guys, but when I do, it's a joy. Kedge, you absolutely killed me off with the way you said flat iron. Do you remember how you said a flat iron building?
Oh, yeah, I made it French.
What do you say?
Flatiron.
And I was like, Kedge is flat iron. He went, oh, is he? The episode about the pudding of crisps had me crying in tears. It's funny. Oh, look at this. He goes, it's funny because I'm 24 and you guys are older than me, but he goes, I feel like I'm one of the boys. There you go. You've made my day now. I feel like a 24-year-old boy. I'm not going to lie. I'm with Satch and Tommy on when Kedge is talking about what he watched and all that Star Wars malarkey. He's got no time for any of that. But he does love the podcast. He says, I really want to come to a DJ night with Satch DJing. I promise I won't come up to you, Satch. Or maybe I will, because I know what he's like. Tommy, I also need to come to a comedy night. Kej, I'd love to see you flare your nostrils. Wonderful. Great stuff. Assad from Newcastle. He didn't say that. just because when Kej is lying. Kej is lying or exaggerating or just talking, his nostrils start to flap. Yes. It's when he's getting creative.
Fake news.
True.
But big up all Assad this propaganda. Newcastle.
Lovely, really, really lovely. Well done, and if you want to have a message, just
email address. It's no longer Assad. He's changed his name. Happy.
Brilliant. Keep him coming, Kej. Keep him coming. Right?
Tommy, just don't say anything.
Hello at thebrownlow.com. That's our email address, or you can just DM us on Instagram. It's the quickest way. Just drop us a little message.
I've got big up as well, and we should big these lot up because they took part in our fantasy football league.
Oh,
do you remember that thing?
Yes.
To be fair, we kind of set it up and now it just lives in the background. So we don't really ever talk about it much in the podcast.
I love it. I love that it just lives there. People who want to be a part of it, they just, you know, they get involved, they get excited and they want, you know, they're all fighting for places in it. And I love that it's become a set thing. I love that.
There's a whole 148 of you in our league and we have to big up the top three because I think, you know, it's a great achievement. Number one, Mohammed Sajjad. With 2,539 points.
Wow.
That is big.
The number one in the world had 2,700. So, you know, only 200 away. Well done.
Wowza. His team was Musiala Magic. Well done, Musiala Magic.
Yep. Number two was Bhavik Yadav, and he ended literally about 20 points off the top spot. So it weren't much in that. And number three, Jaspal Barra.
Oh. Wow. Do you know who that is?
Who?
That's Grace Entertainment. That's the concerts.
Oh. Ah.
The guy who does all the concerts that we do. Oh, well done, Jess.
Well done, mate.
And by the way, we're going to take a moment to big up his wife because his wife is the one that got him into the podcast and goes, these boys are hilarious. And then Jasper was like, cool. I'll book these guys for the concert.
I thought you were going to say his wife actually manages his fantasy football team.
She might do.
And obviously, you know, seeing as we've bigged up everyone else, can I just mention us lot in the group as well, where we have come? So I came 44th out of 148.
I don't think anyone's bothered. No one's bothered.
So I came 44th. Kej came in at number 53 out of. So
you beat Kej. Well done.
I beat Kej. I absolutely Arsenal'd it. I can't believe it. It was just.
Right, yeah, it was more Spurs. It was more Spurs than Arsenal. And Tommy Sandu. Oh, hang on. I'm scrolling. I'm still scrolling. Wait, I'm scrolling. Oh, here we go. So out of 148 people.
Yeah.
He came 137th.
That's good. That's better
you know
than
why?
Last season.
Because I'm a host. I let my guests go before me. You see me? I'm like, I care about them. Mm. Proper Desi Munda. Right, you guys, me. You're like Gujaratis at a buffet queue. Let's run! I've seen you guys.
To be honest, Kej was leading the pack the whole season, Tommy. It was in the last week that I went past him and beat him. So,
He can have that. He can have that. He can absolutely have it. I think I bottled it, as they say in North London.
Yes, you did bottle it. And seeing as you bottled it, Kej, I think maybe you should go first with the things you've learned to see if you can redeem yourself.
Oh, this is brilliant. You're going to love this. The thing that I learned, I've got, right, basically, I know that there was a guy I was listening to on a podcast. I've forgotten his name because I was running at the time. But this was the fact that stuck in my head. Two of them. The optimum kiss should last.
Yeah, go on.
For six seconds.
Yeah. And
six
the hug
seconds.
Should be, and
20
the hug
seconds
should be 20
for the hug.
Seconds.
For the hug. It releases the right amount of oxytocin into your body from your hypothalamus. That's where it's created.
Pecks on the cheek. No good. I literally, bruv, it's a bit embarrassing. I'm going to just say, I don't give a shit. Right. I said this to my wife. I went, by the way, you know. We're 14 years married. We've got to do what we've got to do now to keep the romance alive. I go, by the way, our kisses need to linger a bit more. And she goes, why? I said, 6 seconds. I heard it in the news this week. I said, you know, we've got to do it. And then I forgot. And then like later on, whatever, that day or whatever, and I gave her a kiss to go. She goes, no, wasn't 6 seconds. But then she grabbed the back of my head and just held me. Yeah. It was quite forceful. I was like, I think we should just stick with the 1 second job. Like, it was more like, you got to wait there. Yeah, and then you could feel we're all going,
what do we do? What do we do? Oh, you're okay, captain.
Yeah, well, now you're lingering around for that. So it gets a bit awkward, like trying to work out exactly how long 6 seconds should be. But
Give it a go this weekend. If you're married, if you're not married, just give it a go. 6 seconds. Find somebody. Give them a smack up.
Make sure they're aware that you're giving it a go. Don't just
Yeah. But you know,
Adrian the brand load said, I need to kiss someone for 6 seconds.
Yeah. Let's not get arrested.
No. The thing I learned this week is it's borderline disgusting. And it might change the way you eat for the rest of your life. Kedge, Satch. Do you like a bit of Parmesan cheese? You know, when you get the pasta, a little bit of Parmesan cheese,
Like Parmesan? I used to, but I've been off it. I've not been entertaining it for the last few months now.
Why is that?
Something about it, and I've noticed that it doesn't sit right in my gut. And because you know me, I'm always experimenting with things. What worked, what doesn't. And I've noticed I've basically sigged.
Hang on a minute. Where are you putting the cheese?
Yeah. Yeah. You get some stinky cheese and then you go some really
It's so go on, hit me. Go on. How is it made?
First part of the fact is that Parmesan is actually a protected cheese. So the Parmesan cheese that you get, the little shavings of Parmesan you get on your pasta and pizza, it's a protected cheese, and under Italian and European law, the name is protected as a protected designation of origin. A bit like champagne, you know, like champagne
because it's from the region of champagne. Parmesan.
Parmesan, Parmigiano, that Parmigiano Reggiano, that one, that is all protected. So firstly, that's one fact. Like, okay, cool. So it's a big deal, Parmesan, is what I'm getting to. Mm. Now, here's this. Most cheeses and Parmesan is a combination of milk and salt, right? Most cheeses are just milk, churned, salt, right? But Parmesan, proper Parmesan, is also made with animal rennet, which is an enzyme that comes from the fourth lining of the stomach of animals.
Oh my
god, goats and lambs. This enzyme helps the animal digest their mother's milk. It's what they put into it. The rennet is an important ingredient in the traditional Parmesan, and it does mean that the animals have to be slaughtered. So they kill the animals to make this cheese for this rennet, and it does mean that Parmesan is not vegetarian. Now, as you can imagine, this is all blown up on the internet this week. Twitter's going, oh my god, I'm so shocked. I was today years old when I learned about Parmesan and baby cow stomach. No. Baby cow stomach. What's the world coming to when we need to cook baby anything? Blah blah blah. What I should also just point out is people did note that a lot of Parmesan brands now are using artificial rennet rather than the real thing.
That's probably gonna be even worse though. Do you know what I mean?
You've got to look out for it. You've got to look out for it. Yeah.
So, I am done. I'm glad.
No, but look, if you've been going
to... This is a bit like the masala sauce.
If you go to...
Yeah, this is on the masala sauce one.
If you go to restaurants, usually if you're looking at the menu and it's got Parmesan in it on the dish, it's usually not vegetarian. So that's a big clue for people. And that's been there for years. And I've noticed that from years ago. And I was like, so then... There's clearly some sort of animal product in this. Even though the dish is vegetarian, the cheese is not vegetarian.
Which is strange because you think cheese would be. Okay, not vegan, obviously, but vegetarian. You go, of course it is. This is milk and thingy. But
that's a good one. Oh, my God. We are going to get reaction to this.
Yeah.
We are. And do you know what?
You know, by the way, when they come over, there's two things. Black pepper, yes, please. Parmesan, yes, please. Don't matter if I got a cheesy pasta. I love a carbonara. That's my go-to pasta. And I love pizza. I love pizza with all the meats. I want to know there's a farm on my pizza. I'm sorry, but I do. So when they come along with a Parmesan on top of that, it's just that nice, salty, slightly sort of, you know, pungent finish. But now, animal stomach? I don't like black pudding in fryer.
Tommy,
you know, which is
you're still gonna put it on your pizza and pasta.
Yeah, I probably will. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I know.
Not enough. Put me off.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. Because you eat meat anyway. Thing I learned, and Tommy, I like how we've kind of come together this week because mine's about.
It's nice when that happens, isn't it, Satch? When we come together.
Yeah. What's it called? Juxtaposition.
Oh, yeah, that's
the position.
No, yeah, it depends what position you like, catch. Yeah, I'll do anyone.
The thing I learned this week is also about cheese.
Oh.
Go on.
And if you love cheese, you are actually called a turophile.
Oh.
Pardon me?
T-U-R-O. File, P-H-I-L-E.
Is it Turo or Truro?
Turo. Turophile.
Spell it again.
Turophile. T-U-R-O. P-H-I-L-E. Oh,
turophile. I wonder where the etymology of that word, Turo, where does Turo come from?
Tommy. Turo. Tommy's a turophile. Kedge is a turophile.
No, I'm not. I'm anti.
No, you like other cheeses, though.
I'm not really, you know.
No?
You
know,
no.
No.
It's becoming less and less. I'll be honest with you.
I've said this before on a podcast. As I'm getting older, and particularly since COVID and all that, there's certain foods that don't agree anymore. Red meat just doesn't really agree with me. I know I've got to cut back. I'm probably going to eliminate it soon. My dad's even said the same because he's got older. He stopped eating red meat as well. Cheeses don't agree. Breads don't agree. And I'm like, obviously I've cut back massively on my drinking. I'm drinking just like a handful of times a year. So virtually not drinking, can't eat cheese, can't eat red meat. I'm like, what is going on? I'm also going to live in a bloody mountain and be a monk because
come and live with me. Mother
is going. Can't do anything.
But that's the thing I had. Turophile. Cheese.
Turophile. Parmesan cheese is not vegetarian. And Kedge is going to be captain of India.
Stop eating cheese.
That's what we learned.
Stop eating cheese and just kiss.
For 6 seconds. 6 seconds. In fact, demand that now. If you listen to the podcast, say, hey, listen to your other half. We need to kiss for 6 seconds. You're either going to get a look that goes, shut up, or you're going to get a look that goes, okay, then. So what's the worst that can happen? Give it a go. Until next week, we'll catch you then, boys. Laters.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.